What is that you're doing in your committees, that is monitoring and evaluation oversight of over the members of parliament. And at the end, on what you have done, the people who have sent you to parliament will decide whether you have done your job correctly or you have not done your work correctly. So when you go to go for election, then the you ask for the list of the conferences, that's when you are going to evaluate yourself whether I have done the mandate that I was given. So it's not only the public that is evaluating you, but the party, our own party, every quarter, who are being monitored. You must write reports, ask questions. So I want to say ANC is being monitored and evaluated on regular basis up to until the 5 years is over. By the time 5 years is over, at least you have a clue whether it's performed or not performed. And the response that you get to the masses when you go to your constituency, it tells you that you have worked on this one. So that's why I'm saying you are really talking for the business and for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you so much, honorable member. Number one, I'm sure I'll try with, I'll deal with straightforward questions first. The first one, the honorable member, now known, honorable member Oli, I think you asked two questions relating to the commissioner, because there's two of us, there's the whistleblower and the commissioner. We can only, answer with regard to commissioner. Your question that is related to us is how many of us, the three of us, are subjected to some process, whether it's discipline or whatever the case may be. Absolutely nothing. All of us are commissioners in standing, except my colleague here, who's a practicing attorney, and we are not just a society of part-time commissioners. We also include labor law practitioners. And we coined that name so that people who decide they don't want to be commissioners should be accommodated as well. We also coined it in such a way that even part-time commissioners can join the society. And therefore, none of us, all of us are commissioners in standing, except my colleague who's doing a representation. You can't represent parties as an attorney if at the CCMA, if you still want to be a commissioner. And it also takes me to the question asked by the honorable member Nyekemi, whether we want to be full-time commissioners. Absolutely nothing like that. We also not a union. We are a society like every professional body will have a society. There is a society of advocates for transformation. There is a society, the law society, etc., etc. We are definitely not a trade union because we are not employees of the CCMA. We don't intend being full-time employees of the CCMA. A reference to a fixed-term contract does not necessarily make reference to being a full-time employee. A contract that is a three-year contract. There are people that have been commissioners since 1986. They still get three-year contracts. They still give dates. We will still be giving dates. We will not be going to the CCMA every day. And therefore, we definitely not a trade union. We don't need to be. Another thing that the honorable member Nyekemba said, it was clarified. We are happy to have clarified. The governing body, as all of us know, is a tripartite structure. It has got trade union members, representatives, government and business. But the governing body is also, like I said, it's a creature of statute. It's the Labor Relations Act that put the governing body in place, despite the fact that it is a tripartite structure. So there was no, exactly like you said with the bargaining council. They also a product of the role players there coming together. But I think there is one thing that I want to clarify. The fact that trade unions in one bargaining council, you've got members of the trade unions there, does not mean that those trade unions run that bargaining council. They normally have a secretary that would run the bargaining council. It would not be those members that are problematic in as far as the commission is concerned, but it would be a secretary, a bureaucrat that has been employed, that is always seated in the office of the bargaining council, not those trade union representatives or employer representatives or government representatives. The honourable member also asked about, I think honourable Machel also asked almost the same question with regards to reference. And I'm sure she was also referring to whether we want to be full-time or not, and I'm sure it has been answered. We don't intend to be full-time. We will still operate the way we do it. Some of us go there once in a month, others go there once in a week, etc., etc., because we work all over the place. It's only that CCMA is also part of the institution we're interested in. I'm sure my colleagues will pick up other issues, but before the questions of clarification were asked, I raised my hand and Madam had noted me. One of the things, because I noted that the Department of Labor is here, and of course, our gripe has been that, you know, we feel lost, but I think it would be unfair not to give the Department of Labor credit in as far as us having met them in consent. We wrote one email, and boom, we are the Department of Labor, and we are received with warm hands. And it is in that regard that we want to indicate that the Director General of the Department of Labor, Mr. Kimimani, was very helpful and very warm to us in as far as, you know, making sure that as commissioners we are able to interact with whoever has got interest in the work that we're doing. And we really want to commend the department for that. Honorable Ollis also said that, look, we don't know these fellows. You know, we don't know whether they're telling us the truth. In fact, we were going to be coming to this. Commissioner also indicated that they really want the honorable members to institute some kind of an investigation or some kind of a fact-finding process. To the CCMA, go and talk to the commissioners themselves. There's nothing wrong. We know that the portfolio committee sometimes came to the CCMA. I know that in my region, Johannesburg, they were there, but of course we were not aware of what was happening. But you're saying anyone, by governing body, whoever, can just jump into the CCMA and say, look, commissioner, what are the issues? But you also hear you are lazy. We also hear this and that about you, and then get information from the commissioners themselves. That's what he's saying. But at the end of the day, commissioners are really keen to have an investigation in how they should work and how you could enhance the office of the commission. So, yes, thank you so much.
Thank you, honorable member. I think the distinction between the office of the commissioner and that of honourable member, which came in response to the question from honourable member, is the following. Commissioners are dispensing justice, more like judges, more like magistrates. And it is this responsibility and duty that has to be protected. Given the circumstances that their contract comes for renewal, both part-time commissioners and full-time, that independence somehow becomes a compromise. And it is for that reason that that we perhaps need to take the route of the of other institutions that are doing
me just that insofar as the part-time commissioners are concerned, there is that distinction between our society and those who are full-time commissioners. Indeed, those who are full-time commissioners belong to they have their own union in the form of the staff association. I happen to be the founder member. I remember I drafted that constitution when I was still full time. Ever since then, I think from 1999 to 2000, I decided to become a part-time commissioner. The truth of the matter is that my contract has been removed. In fact, recently I went for an interview. The only concern that they had was that why I don't give them more days? Why do I give them one day in 2 months or something of that nature or so? So I'm basically trying to re-emphasize that there is no ambition of becoming a full-time commissioner, because some of us do different practice in the labor court.
I'll allow this question to Mr. Mutibe, who was on the floor, to answer it. But I think during his presentation, he went into details as to why they did not go to the governing body. He cited examples. However, for those who did not hear what he was saying, I was still giving the chance to go. I mean, to talk, and answer the question. And we have opened the line for whistleblowers, and that was not by accident, because whistleblowers go through a number of victimizations immediately they lift up their hands. That is the only reason. And for Mr. Mutubedi to come out, I think he has gone through hell already. I think all we have to do as members of parliament is to get that report and test what he has raised to us and see whether his report was false or his report was right. So I think we should not rub more salt to the wound. We are being accused out there of not being warm to whistleblowers, and Parliament cannot be hard to that. That report will say a lot. But I think for those who want to say, because they come out to the public, are given the chance to talk again.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. The reason I did not approach this is very pure, because they were actually the representation of what I have. So, I'm referring to management. I never mentioned I have experience of how they deal with these issues. Just talked about collective agreement that was signed where the senior manager was protected from the fact he was a junior staff member to mislead auditors, and at the end she was at the receiving end because she was ultimately given a final document as regards to the issue. When it comes to the governing board, some of the financial irregularities that are in the documents that I disclosed were actually of contract that were approved by the governing body itself. Now, for me to go back to them and say, can you help me? I don't see that working, because they are actually the people that are pissed the very same complaint that I had. And again, the very same collective agreement, or not collective agreement, government agreement, was subject to the approval of the government. And it was approved because the final written was ultimately effective. So if they had approved it, knowing that the person that issued the instruction was not even touched, not even to say to that person, don't do it again. How do I go to them again for protection? The reason why I said I did not even get assistance from them was purely because they must have done their own investigation, and I know they did it. And while doing it, they only listened to one party. They are supposed to oversee the entire institution, not only to look at views from management only. So they failed to do that. To invite me, come and explain to us what you are talking about here. That never happened. So that is the other reason I did not go to the government body to seek assistance. Thank you.
I think this is the last fight. My colleague. I think it's the point. I just want to raise one point. That any act of parliament come as a result of the constitution of the republic. Obviously, there has to be a particular section of the constitution of the republic that will say something broadly, and then say parliament needs to go into detail, come with an act. Same applies to the Labour Relations Act. Come as a result of, if I'm not mistaken, section 23 of the Constitution of the Republic. So I'm raising this, Madam Chair, that given the presentations that have been done, I think as Parliament, it will be in a process become difficult just to say, like the presentation from the Commissioner. Because in actual fact, the proposals that they put in place, making an example, what is happening in Australia and in other countries, it, by implication, it means that the Labour Relations Act has to be amended. In particular, Chapter 7, which deals with CMA and Commissioner. So I wanted to raise that matter, because for us listening to them, they mustn't get out of that door and think that tomorrow then things will be the way they want them to be. I think the quarter they want to raise that. I think lastly, sir, is the unknown point, we are in the same township. He indicated that he has been dismissed. And his view is that he has been dismissed unfairly. Substantively unfair according to what you're coming to us. But I think Honorable Onis earlier raised a point to say we are not necessarily a tribunal. We are not necessarily a tribunal which has to say listening to you call from them, hey, and then they say, you are wrong, then this one is right, and then this one must be reinstated. I think it is important to raise the bar. Why do we appreciate the fact that he has made the parliament aware of wrong things that are happening in one of the public entities which falls under the Department of Labor? So I thought, let me raise that. But at the same time, thank him because there is a forensic report which will be made public. If it was not because of his sacrifice and his colleague's sacrifice, there was not going to be a forensic investigation report that will be made public tomorrow. So, but I thought, Madam Chair, let me just reflect on this. If there are processes in place, because disciplinary processes are in terms of the law at the same time. So, what understanding that it's important that when we leave this meeting, there must be no expectations, but they can be there. But it seems of the future. In amending a law, you are not going to say that these amendments are retrospective. They will start to operate at that particular time when you put the amendment in place. That's what I wanted to raise a few points. Thank you.
I think that the coming up. Way to do this, because if we can't listen to you and think that what you are saying is fine. We have to put all the parties under one roof, and then on the basis of the outcome of those discussions, then the members of the government will take a position and see an advice to go forward. I think everybody.